Oh yeah, we're on.
He's the sip advisor. Like love that, Scott.
Howdy, toddy. God almighty, this is the Triple Option Podcast coming to you from the Cigar City Podcast Studio in Ybor City. I'm your host, Law Smith. Sitting here with me is, you know what his favorite section on college football final is? The O Canada section. Let's give it up for Steve Confetti Fantetti.
What's going on? The busiest man in Tampa, Florida, just sitting here next to me.
I told someone I am the busiest non-millionaire you know.
I thought it was me, but apparently well, it's you.
you might be pushing seven digits. I don't know.
Very true.
So I'm gonna try a little background music while we do a little like window dressing in the beginning here, mm-hmm. with a little Tecmo Bowl. Can you hear that?
I love it.
You digging it?
I'm really digging it.
So we'll do this while we have do a little sponsor stuff. So this episode is brought to you by Warby Parker Glasses. I wear glasses. I have Warby Parker. You got some glasses, and you were like, I gotta get some.
I have actually been reaching out to try to get that moving. Like I said, I would on this podcast.
They're mostly online, but they mm-hmm. they started doing pop up stores and several cities. If you're in a big city, there's probably a pop up store around you. But right. What you want to do is you want to get the 5-day trial where they send you 5 glasses. You can check it out. Like I got a weird Peyton Manning head.
That's true.
I got a 5 head for a 4 head. So, like, the deal is glasses don't look good on me a lot of the time because everybody's got a shape. You got a football head like I do.
Egghead.
You got a circle. You got just plump. Maybe you're wide. Maybe you're Hawaiian or something, and you're a little bit wider than normal. I would say Warby Parker is the glasses company for you. They'll do prescription glasses. They do sunglasses now. And here's just the thing about glasses. They're way too fucking expensive. You know why? Because there's a monopoly on glasses. Luxottica, an Italian company, owns 97% of the market share. That's crazy. So they dictate the market. Artificial inflation.
Antitrust.
All that's kinda. It Microsoft
got that.
Yeah. I was gonna say Microsoft got a bunch of shit for that in the '90s. Anyway, Warby Parker, go to warbyparkertrial.com/3XO and you get that trial for free. You get it on us, it helps the show. You wanna help the show? Our other sponsor is Business Attorney of the Stars, business law firm that you need help. Fantetti Legal, your business for fine. Go to fantettilegal.com and check it out. You got any business questions?
We got answers.
Is there any like quick talking stuff after that?
No, we're good to go.
Okay. It's a law firm, all that.
Let's go.
And then let's get into it. So what... how do you feel? You pumped about week 8. I wasn't.
Yes, I was.
At least week 7 had a lot of upsets, and that was exciting.
Yes.
Also, I owe 2 stories. I've got. I want to hear the best bars in the country. Before we get into all the X's and O's, I want to hear from all the fans. What's the best bar in your college town or your former college town? I had a buddy of mine ask me. Hey, I want to go to the Auburn game. Where do I go? And I was like, oh, let me think about that. I'll answer on the podcast. I'm going to do that at the end of this pod.
That's a tease.
And then I owe a story about
LSU?
How I got rocked in Baton Rouge.
That's right.
So week 8, what are you thinking? How's your nanny doing?
Well, good, actually. Thank you. the reason why I was so excited for this, there was 3 games on the schedule that I was really looking forward to because I wanted to see if they were going to have implications in the rankings. I mean, Michigan, Penn State was clearly one of them. USC, Notre Dame was the other. And I wanted to make sure and see if Texas would get that upset over Oklahoma State, who was vulnerable for 1. So those 3 games are what I was really looking forward to. Texas almost put off the upset. didn't.
Yeah.
I want to see if Michigan could put up a good fight against Penn State, Penn State being the number two team in the country being ranked. They got a bigger game next week against Ohio State, but would they lose already and kind of end their hopes for a title? They didn't, and we'll get into that game too. And then USC-Notre Dame, which I thought, you know, USC, who some people in this podcast are not going to say who they were, they may not be here, thought USC would be in the Final Four at
Chad
the end.
Sweetum Sweetums?
That's right, and they clearly will not, so it shows you Chad's predictions would take you. No, I'm just kidding. But at the end of the day...
I owe $5, by the way.
I got to pay that, so I'll get that to you.
Okay.
We talked about that on the Slack yesterday.
Oh, wait, I owe you? Is it a bet against you?
I owe Chad, actually. Good call.
I owe Chad.
I'm paying for you because my team sucks.
Oh, Tennessee okay. Lost. Sweet. Yeah,
that was just me
can
looking
out. Can I
do out.
That all the time?
Just
you could be my banker all
any, there you go. Any $5 bets you got, yeah, let me know. No, you know, USC, I expect
allegedly,
a lot.
Allegedly, by the way.
Allegedly, if we people bet at all, we don't know that. But 49-14, Notre Dame wins big in South Bend. I just thought USC obviously would come through and make this a game. They didn't. I mean, Notre Dame was up early. It was 28-0 when I finally actually turned to the game because I was watching the Michigan-Penn State game. I'm surprised Sam Darnold didn't play better. It's not that he looked rattled. Really, their defense lost in this game. They got into too big of a hole too early. Mm-hmm. But that was a game that I thought was actually going to have major implications. I thought if USC won this game, they'd be able to climb. Looks like Notre Dame might get into the top 10 and be able to climb up, and we'll see what happens with them. But I think they're overrated.
I agree. They're overrated because they're Notre Dame.
But Brandon Wimbush looks good, man.
I know.
He's a junior. He's coming back next year.
And,
I'm very interested to see how well he does.
Equanimous Brown, the best name in...
St. Brown or St. John or something like that. Equanimous St. Brown or St.
Like
yeah.
I like that guy's name.
Yeah. He's a good receiver. He had the first touchdown in the game, 26-yard reception.
You know, Notre Dame, I think, is giving a lot of people hope that they're good. I don't think...
The media wants it. You know that.
I don't think USC is good.
No. They're pretenders.
I didn't think they were good last week. We were talking about, you know, Sam Darnold.
Being overrated, which we were
being
right.
Overrated. When they were calling him the Jets' future quarterback, I was like, I don't think so. I think he's like fifth on my list maybe right now. He's a third rounder to me. But
Yeah.
I would say like.
He's coming back though, by the way, I heard.
As he should.
Sources told me.
He needs to.
Yeah, he should.
I don't think he's all there. I think USC's got a lot of problems, and they're kind of just. Look, they were making a big deal of this game beforehand, and I know both are technically ranked,
mm-hmm.
but it was still like, this isn't that cool of a game. This isn't that big of a game. Like,
see, I thought it was. I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because the history behind it's amazing. That game has implicated their season.
That's what they're playing.
When they're relevant. No, but it has for a long time. But the problem is when you have the 11th versus 13th ranked teams in the country playing each other, that does matter.
Sure. But I'm saying like it's not the end-all be-all. I saw a lot of press.
Well, no, not week 8. It's not the end-all
be-all. I saw a lot of press for it.
Oh, then that's BS. I agree with you.
I get it. You got LA. You got the LA market, they think. And you've got...
Yeah, NBC Sports, Inc., Notre Dame, Inc.
Was it an NBC game?
Yeah, it always is. Whenever Notre Dame pretty much plays anybody, they're going to try to put it on there.
Well, sometimes there's the occasional non-NBC...
Right. Well, they'll be on ABC in primetime playing Stanford or someone like that sometimes. But this one was NBC.
By the way,
8 o'clock
NBC can suck my dick because they.
I don't believe. I don't think that.
Well, I've done all these Sling TV, YouTube TV. Yeah. I still haven't found a good system to watch all the games I need and get everything I want out of cable. And
just get the college football package, man.
No, I did, but I mean it ends up being more. All right, so you get Sling TV, you don't have NBC Live, and you don't have. Then I go, okay, I'll go to YouTube TV because at least I'll get the local channels like Fox, ABC, CBS.
The NBC Live's on regular spectrum cable. That's not a plug.
I know.
By the way.
I'm gonna have to go back. Yeah. I just don't even want a cable box. I'm just gonna get
fair
one.
Enough.
Anyway,
<That's> different.
But well, my thing, I'll just sign in to all the apps. Yeah. We have Apple TV everywhere. We have Roku. We have Amazon TV in here.
Way too much stuff, but yeah.
I know it's too fucking sprawling. Anyway. If anybody knows the best system for all of this, I'm all ears. I thought I had it nailed with Sling TV. It's not the shit.
Not.
And it falters all the fucking time. It stops. It just quits on you.
Sounds like the new iOS operating system I got on my cell phone that just updated. Thing is trash on the iPhone.
Really?
It like delays your phone. There's like a lag and everything. I know like 100 people have been complaining about this that I know.
What model do you have?
6S?
That's why.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I got to get that 10 when it comes out. I've been waiting too long.
Here's a conspiracy corner. Is
do it.
Every time a new iPhone comes out, the old ones turn into basically a pager. Like the thing's a piece of shit.
I thought it was because the government's tapping your phone. That was the leg.
Well, there's a little bit of that. I mean, talk about collusion. I mean, there's four main carriers. Mm-hmm. So they can dictate the price, and they don't fuck with each other too much.
It's the oligopoly.
I know. I said that the other day to someone, oligopoly, and I say it about college football too. Because
they know what you're talking about.
They were like, "Cool, using big words, man." I was like, "No, that's what it's called. That's what it is."
Easy there.
So,
anyway, Notre Dame. We'll see what they can do the rest of the season. They got tough games still to play. We'll find out.
Watch them live. That's all I'm saying.
I can. I love it. I love watching their offense. It's great.
I like Wimbush. I had him on my top 25 fantasy league.
Didn't you watch them when they played against Michigan State when they just tore them up too?
Yeah.
I love saying that, by the way. I mean, I can't. But did you notice that? I think they put up 49 points on Michigan State as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't buy them. I don't buy them.
Oh, I don't buy them to be a top four final team either. But Brian Kelly keeps his job, which we didn't think at the start of this podcast that he would. So when you're a coach of the 13th ranked team in the country, you'll be back next year.
I bet they lose two games towards the end of the year. I don't even know their schedule.
That's why I'm going to actually bring this up. Because I want to see if you're on that BS right now. So, okay, you might be right, because guess who they got left? Well, first of all, next week they play NC State. That's a trap game. NC State's ranked 16th in the country. They got Wake Forest. Here's the game that they might lose out of one of these two. If they don't lose NC State, let's say, right? They play Wake. That's a win. They got to play at Miami at 8 o'clock, November 11th. They got to play versus Navy on NBC. Not a big deal. Then they play Stanford at the end of the year.
Okay.
So Stanford or Miami or both.
Miami, that's a
loss. I think
they
lose to Miami. By the way, Miami looks good, man. Well, they look the real deal.
I think Syracuse is actually pretty good.
They are, but they're not.
Well, for the lay fan, I think if you're looking at the scores, you're like, Syracuse is trying to put it on Miami.
Well, they beat Clemson last week.
All right, but I said on this podcast,
which
last
is really
week, Miami's my I think my top four.
You did say that. I didn't have him in mind.
I think everybody's looking at NC State to sneak up and take the ACC. I think it'll be Miami.
NC State won't take the ACC.
I think the majority of like writers and all that.
Interesting.
They
I wouldn't sleep on them, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Well, they became a darling because they came out of nowhere, and then you hit your horse that, and you forget Miami's doing work down there. Travis Homer, what?
Yeah, the winning touchdown run last thing. That's
all
your boy.
All the wide receivers look beat as fuck yesterday because I had that game on. Berrios, Richards, Herndon, Hindren.
Yeah.
The fourth, I believe.
Their defense looked good. They had four picks in the first half. Everyone had the chains on. They looked good, man. They were doing well.
Yeah, but they look beat. Like
the secondary, you mean?
No.
Or the receivers.
The receivers just look beat up, and running backs are going out. At least Homer's still there.
They'll be just fine.
No, I like Mark Richt. I don't know why he had this issue. I would say the same thing, Bob Stoops, but he won a national title. But
yeah, Richt is not.
Richt would be – he was like the best at getting an 11-win team or a 10-win team.
We talked about that before in his pocket years ago. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I think he's going to bring that back to Miami.
I think so, too.
But I think the talent pool might be better if he's there for a while.
Than when he was recruiting at Georgia? I mean, it's debatable. I think they both had the best.
Just that Miami area.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, the quality of players he was getting lots of five stars at Georgia, especially at the quarterback position. But I'll tell you this. If Miami loses any game, I think it's going to be the Notre Dame game. So we'll see. I think that's going to be their only loss if they lose. Until the ACC championship game, they get in that.
So all in all, Notre Dame sucks. That's what we're taking away from this?
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is they're overrated. I'm not saying they suck. They're a good quality football team. Now, the real game that I thought was going to be really entertaining was the Penn State Michigan game. Turned out not to be.
Yeah.
Now this is good because it sets up next week's game to be more hype than I thought it was going to be when Penn State plays Ohio State 2-6 next week.
Yep.
That's going to be the best game next week, and it's interesting because I watched this game. There's a lot of takeaways from this because people really thought Michigan would actually have a chance to win this game, and they didn't. The quarterback play is just abysmal. But both these teams have problems because they both have no vertical passing game. So this is very interesting because when you watch Clemson play last year, or you watch anybody play against Ohio State last year, to really try to beat Ohio State, you have to be able to push the ball downfield because you're going to use play action to set up your game. That's Penn State's bread and butter. They got Saquon Barkley. Everyone, you can't put it in the box. Your linebackers have to respect the play action. They have to hold there before they can drop into pass coverage. So you have a lot more opportunities to throw those 10, 15-yard passes, which if you look, that's all Trace McSorley did yesterday. It was give to Saquon. Fake Saquon and throw to your receiver on like a 10-yard slant, or keep it and run into the end zone,
or throw to Saquon on a wheel route,
or that
that's
too.
Really deep.
Yeah, but that's it. But again, when you're playing against Ohio State, it's not going to work. I mean, Clemson was able to run the same type of offense, but they were able to throw deep to like Deion Kane or Martellus Bryant or someone like that. That's what Penn State's missing. Mm-hmm. So I think next week's game, it's not going to be one of these Michigan games where they play against Michigan and they win 49-14. When they play Ohio State, it's going to be whoever has the ball at the end wins, or Ohio State might just run up on these guys because they have the ability to obviously throw deep and do a lot more. They have more athleticism at the receiver position than Penn State does. But again, to me, Penn State just looks too one-dimensional when you're playing against a really good team. Because if they can't, you can't push the ball downfield, that you're really going to put it all in the hands of Saquon Barkley. When you have a really good defense, which Ohio State does, you can't just be one-dimensional and expect to win. So I think that number two ranked team in the country loses next week at Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, and I really like Penn State, and I really like Barkley, but I'm with you. I don't like a portfolio mix of players when it's just focused heavily on just one guy.
I know.
That's always the worst.
It scares me.
Because if you bottle him up, what are you going to do now?
I know.
I mean, that's basically your point. It's the thing of, I don't know. I don't see a lot of downfield threats. I know some Penn State fans are probably going to talk shit to us. But
oh, please do, though.
Yeah, please.
Prove me wrong. Tell me I missed something. I watched the game last night. I didn't see any pass over 20 yards. So I didn't see anything deep.
Except for the bobbled pass wheel route from
yeah, but that wasn't Barkley. Even – that was a play that he's able to sneak away. That's like one of those gadget plays. That's not a real design. Our athlete's better than yours. We're going to throw a 65-yard bomb down the sidelines because we have Randy Moss. Like, it's nothing like that. Ohio State has that. Mm-hmm. And but the other interesting thing is, like you were saying, how you can't just rely on one guy. I haven't seen it since the year 2000 when Michael Vick was a one-man show in Blacksburg. That's the last time I've ever seen someone be able to actually make it somewhere and do it. They still couldn't beat the Heisman in the Seminoles. But still had a quality team just with him by himself.
Is he still returning kicks? Yeah, so there's another thing.
Saquon does do that, too.
Yeah.
That's why he's in the Heisman race. They're trying to get him as much exposure as they can.
It helps, but to me, that's like, I don't know, that's a recipe for injury.
For sure it is. Get worn out.
Why? I get it. You want your best player on the field at all times, but at the same time, they run him a lot. Or 15 carries yesterday. But, I mean, he's playing every down, I think.
It's total touches, though.
Right, really right. Supposed to do. But they did a good job of doing a lot of play action. McSorley had three running touchdowns, I want to say.
It was something like that.
He had two or three.
I think he only had two.
He had three.
Okay.
76 yards.
He passed for 282, which is funny because he really didn't push the ball downfield.
Yeah.
That's a lot of yards for not really being able to do it. But they do their short intermediate passing, and you can tell it's all based on timing because a lot of it's just play action. So he holds the ball into the chest of the running back. He watches to see if the linebackers drop back enough in his passing lane. If they don't, the window's there, and he throws it. Like, it's really simple. Like, Urban Meyer and his defensive coordinator are going to have a field day eating this up when they watch film this week because it's really not that difficult to stop.
Yeah, it will. I feel like Urban's going to be a better planner for this game.
I think so, too. Defense isn't really Harbaugh's thing. He really kind of delegates
that. Barkley's backup.
I can't.
But we know
I don't want
Ohio
to.
State's got two running backs, technically. I mean,
they got the best running back if he's healthy. I think Mike Weber can be the best.
J.K. Simmons Robbins?
Oh, he's good, but I think Mike Weber's better running back for Ohio State is their best running back. He just started the year behind, lagging with injuries. He's kind of working his way back into the chart.
Hamstring will kill you.
And foot. He's got a couple different things. There's knee, too. He's got a couple different things.
But I feel like they got more athletes around.
They do. And J.T. Barrett is not going to be fazed by this game. I mean, he'll be fine. That's another thing. Okorn looked lost, just like he did against Michigan State. He just does. I mean, I don't blame him.
Like a puppy.
He really didn't. Yeah, he just looked like he didn't know what he was doing. And listen, that's expected sometimes when you kind of just get thrown in there like that. A lot of guys aren't going to just eat like they should right away.
How about this? The impression of James Franklin by Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
He's the best entertainer right now to me.
I think so.
Look, we'll talk about this like a college football team. I think he's the best entertainer out there. Like, I think
who's his competition?
He's number one in the power ranking.
Who's his competition?
Who would you say? I don't even know who's big now. You probably know better than I would. I'm trying to think.
Coaches?
No. I'm just saying, like, Keegan-Michael Key as a comedian actor. I feel like he's the most versatile.
Franklin, yeah,
He's the Saquon Barkley of comedy. He can do it all.
I don't think there's anybody else in terms of imitating like coaches or doing anything like in terms of professional. Well, what's his name? Does the coaches who does Gruden, all those guys, Frank Caliendo?
Yeah,
he's pretty
Caliendo's good.
Yeah, that's who I thought was the competition.
We've had it for a while.
Yeah. That's kind of played out, people think.
And he's doing like Madden, and Madden's like basically dead.
Oh, God.
So, R.I.P. Like, is he? Is
no,
he,
he's, no, he's still
alive.
Here. He's still
shit.
Here, man.
Anyway. But I'm saying, like, I feel like he's the most versatile comedian. I don't know. He's an improv comedian. If you watch Mike Birbiglia's movie, he's great in that. He can do drama. And he does. It's awesome that he can show up and just do James Franklin pretty spot on.
Pretty spot on. Actually, speaking of drama, I'm glad you said that. Oklahoma almost lost to Kansas State yesterday. Did you watch that game at all? Were you following? I was following it. I was at the bar.
I got Baker on my top 25 team. So.
I got Baker still as my Heisman guy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my second, him and Saquon. I got Saquon still ahead of him right now. As I said last week, Baker's number two. Almost lost this game again, a squeaker. Tough to win in Manhattan, Kansas, though. I'm glad they were able to pull this out.
And Kansas State was pretty good last year. Their defense was really good last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about them this year except for the carryover from last year. But I'm saying, like, I was following the bottom line while we're trying to sell our house. So I was trying. I'm trying to watch college football while setting us up for open house. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, that's from 11 to 1 today.
not that you're trying to sell that or anything. Push it out.
I'm going to be a whore getting
you
that.
You should, bro. Get your house sold, man.
But my thing is with Mayfield, I felt that. While I like the confidence, I like where they're going.
Yep.
I feel like there is going to be one of those games where they're going to get their shit pushed in because they're not really paying attention.
Well, don't they play TCU soon?
I'm bringing up their schedule right now. It's TCU's on 11-11.
Okay, so that's in a couple weeks because that's the game where I think is going to be the make or break for their season.
I think Oklahoma State's going to be a tough game.
I forgot it's the last one of the year they got.
No, they switched it up.
Oh, they did switch it up.
So they used to do that.
Yeah, they used to do that.
It's on 11-4 now.
Wow, they're playing
them early.
Now they play
West Virginia at the end of the year.
Well, even that could be a trap game too.
They've got three pretty good teams because I think West Virginia is going to geek up the rankings.
Yeah, and this is what worries me a lot with teams when you're just because if you look at Oklahoma State, who did it last week, even against Texas, when you just are squeaking out games against subpar opponents and you're playing better ones. I mean, TCU's a top five team right now in the country. It's interesting. You have to play a lot better than that. And if they have a slew of games where they're vulnerable each week, one of those games could be a slip-up game. So Oklahoma's really got to do something to turn around where they can start making sure they separate themselves in these games. Because keeping these games close, it's just a toss-up. And it's funny because the contrast to that is Wisconsin.
Okay.
Because they're ranked number five in the country right now in most polls. And what's surprising to me is they've played nobody good. And at the same time, they might end up squeaking into the top four because the other ones are eating each other alive because they're SEC teams or ACC teams that are ranked in the top four. Wisconsin could squeak in here because look who they have left: Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and they play Michigan.
Yeah,
which will probably be the biggest game on their schedule. But really, they could win out, and they could end up beating the top four because a one-loss Clemson's out, or you know, let's say Penn State loses, obviously to Ohio State, perhaps, or something like that down the line, or even like Miami can't get in.
Yeah.
A one-loss Miami because you have a undefeated Wisconsin who hasn't played even close to the quality of Miami. So this conversation's coming. I'm just getting everybody ready. ESPN's going to start talking about it.
Oh, get ready.
They will. I'm just telling. No, it's true. But every year, people fight about who should be in the top four. It seems like you're not really caring about that. But
I know. I'm. My eyes are looking at the Mevo camera because it gave me an error. We're still running live. I'm just making sure. No,
but
it said something about our SD card is not formatted.
Maybe I'm just talking too much hype and just can't handle it.
Yeah, you're spitting too much knowledge.
Well, but
the Mevo camera overloaded.
But I'm just saying, at the end of the year, usually around the end of October, early November, you start seeing a lot of those sports shows talking about, you know, people arguing who should be in the Final Four. I'm telling you, I'm setting the stage. This kind of conversation, if you look at it, all the evidence is there that this is going to happen. There's going to be this clash. So should a Wisconsin team get in with that weak schedule over any one loss of those good quality teams that we see, that's going to be coming. But we'll see how these teams beat up on each other. I mean, Penn State might beat Ohio State, and then they might keep their number two ranking and smooth sail into the Final Four. But I think there's going to be a loss there in one of these teams that's in the Final Four right now, and that's going to let Wisconsin sneak in with a weaker schedule. So it's very interesting to me.
You're setting the table for a playoff smorgaboard. That's all you're doing
right now. But the evidence is there. If you can't see it, you know it's coming.
And you've got a wheel of cheese that you're going to roll in. No one's going to see you because it's in your back pocket.
They'll smell it.
Yeah, they'll smell it. They're going to smell it later. But yeah,
but
it's
Wisconsin
cheese.
You have TCU. You have Clemson. You have Miami. All those teams, even Georgia. Georgia plays Florida next week. That's a trap game for them at the Cocktail Bowl. Chad's going to be there.
I don't think Georgia's that good.
They are good. I think they're going to kill Florida. But I'm just saying every week these teams are vulnerable that are in the Final Four, and Wisconsin could just sneak in. I don't think it's fair. Unless they are the real deal. To me, I've watched Wisconsin twice this year. the quality opponents they play just doesn't really let me know if they are that good yet.
They're a good nap game.
They are a good nap game. But we'll see when they play Michigan, but that's in 3-4 weeks from now. So
I'm doing a lot of dad puns today.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You could tell you had no sleep.
Sip advisor for Trip Advisor. I mean, that is just amazing. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, anything else stand out to you? I love TCU blanking Kansas, only like 21
yards
of
total
offense.
I know. I can't say I'm surprised by that.
And I'm watching the highlights, and I'm like, Kenny Hill is playing more mature ball.
He is.
From what I can tell. I don't know if you see that.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. He's been playing mature ball since he got there. It's a different system than Texas A&M. A different pressure.
Remember last year with the Arkansas game?
Yeah, that's okay. No, it's a first year in a new offense. His first year as an actual true starter for a full season.
All right.
I think he played well enough. I think he showed maturity through each game. You're going to have those slip-ups in your first year in an offense like that. But I think this year he's really coming into his own, like you said. And I think this is it. This is the Kenny Hill that people wanted to see. He just wasn't able to give it to you right away at Texas A&M following Johnny Manziel, which is never easy. I think it was just too much pressure for him at that time being so young. But
yeah.
I think now this is the player we're going to see. And he's a potential Heisman contender next year. I think him and Wimbush will both be Heisman contenders next year.
What about this year?
No, not even close.
Really?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Who's your Heisman?
Right now, who I got?
Yeah.
Well, mine's the same.
We can jump back.
It's okay. Mine's the same. I'm really only looking at two guys that really got a shot right now. It's Saquon, Baker Mayfield.
I like throwing that in.
You haven't lost it, bro. You haven't lost it. When's the last time you actually did stand-up? You still got it, man. Don't let anybody tell you lost it.
It's been a while.
You still got it, man. I like him.
I like slipping in the gay jokes because they make you uncomfortable.
No, I'm good, man. That don't bother me at all. So Saquon's one until they lose. Baker Mayfield, though they do have a loss, I still like them. Nobody else really scratching the surface. Like I said, I mean, Mason Rudolph with that loss playing, you know, subpar in that game really blew it for me. Darius Geis not there. People have him in the top five. I don't know why. They have too many losses. Lamar Jackson looked good yesterday playing against Florida State. Showed the flashes of why he was the Heisman winner last year, but again, hasn't done enough to really, you know, get himself, you know, injected into the conversation. People have Bryce Love ranked 3 from Stanford. I don't think he's that good. I'm not going to put him there either. No love for Love. So I'm really just sticking with Saquon and Baker for now. Next year's Heisman, I love talking about because all these guys will be gone and you'll have a whole new slew
of
players.
You're like ESPN. You've already moved on to next year.
I've already moved on to next year. But we'll see what happens. Like I said, I mean, I think you'd be very hard pressed to find people disagree with me that those two guys are really your only two people, unless you can find somebody else right now that you think is
ahead
of the field.
I got some people.
You probably got some defensive player like you always do every year.
I got two.
No shot.
I got two.
Go ahead.
We got Fitzpatrick, cornerback from Alabama.
He's got no shot of winning. He's a great player though.
He's not doing enough.
Great player. He'll be a first round pick.
They're also not throwing to his side, so it's kind of tough.
Well, he plays safety, not corner, so they can't.
He plays corner.
Mika Fitzpatrick's a safety, bro.
I thought he was a corner.
No.
What?
I'll bet your house on it.
I will not. He was a corner at one point, correct?
Never was. He's a safety, even in high school.
He's from New Jersey. That's why I remember that.
Yeah, he plays safety. It says right, he plays strong safety for Alabama.
Interesting. Yeah.
Take that to the bank.
Hey, hold my dick. Anyway,
spent way too much time on that. Heisman, your guys.
Podcast, man. We're not.
We don't prep for this.
We've got another 20 minutes to go, man.
I love it. We got lots to talk about. So tell me your Heisman now that you don't think my two guys are the guys.
I like Bradley Chubb.
Why? The defensive end, isn't he?
Yeah. NC State. How many sacks does he have?
I don't know. I know he's double digits already, isn't he?
No. 6.5.
And he's not a Heisman contender is my point.
6.5 in 7 games?
Yeah, that's not enough to be a Heisman contender at a defensive position.
Okay.
So I'm just blowing you out the water. Go ahead. Who else you got?
He's a disruptor, man. The stats aren't so really good on the defensive side.
That doesn't mean I'm going to win the Heisman, bro.
All right. So he's my five chair.
Go ahead. Keep it going.
I like Rashard Penny, running back out of San Diego State.
He's got no shot either, but a very quality pick. You know why he's got no shot?
I just give you who should be there.
Because Donald Pumphrey last year, who they had, who was an NFL draft pick, the same kind of love, almost the same kind of numbers, didn't even come close to finishing in the top five.
That's why that's a waste of vote. Who's going to win?
I know that.
Who should be there?
I'm just telling you who should be there because who you're putting there is not really.
I'm putting him there.
Nah, go ahead. I like it. I like this. This is a good.
And I can't disagree really with the top three on ESPN as of October 17th, which is Barkley's number one. I would put Mayfield 2. He's 3 on here. And then Bryce Love, I guess. Because I think Stanford's going to win the Pac-12. They're going to sneak up, win the Pac-12 in a very boring, running, very Alabama-like kind of way.
Yeah.
Really good defense, really lull you to sleep kind of way. And, you know, you got to give some love to the tree.
And that's fair enough. I mean, people have JT Barrett there. His Heisman chances to even get in the top five matter next week if they win.
Yeah.
But this is the interesting one. Is Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin, he already has over 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. I think he's got 10 or 11 touchdowns already. The thing with him, though, I like him. I've actually watched him play. He's a very good runner. Wisconsin seems to turn out backs like it's their job every year. The problem is it's very system-oriented, as you can tell, because when they're back at the NFL, they're really not that good.
Uh-huh.
But third of all with that.
Same could be said with Alabama running backs. So,
I agree with that.
It kind of throws it out the window.
They just got to watch their weight, though. I mean, all the ones are losing weight. They even said Damian Harris's goals for 2017, one of his top three goals, like be a starter. His other goal was to lose weight. It's
how is that so hard?
Nick Saban gets these big hoss running backs, and they're great. But, man, the NFL, you got to be a lot quicker. But back to.
But, I mean, when your whole livelihood is your body.
I know. Like, it is interesting. You have one job to do.
When you're like 21, I guess you just don't care.
No, and you're you know what it's like. You just eat whatever you want because you think you're wrong. I got practice. I'll burn these calories.
I used to eat Checkers like, whoa, man, NASCAR burger or whatever. Big Buford all day.
I never had those. What? But Jonathan, I haven't ever been to that place.
It's really hard to not call him Jonathan Taylor Thomas in my brain because I'm a 90s baby.
So am I. Yeah, don't do that, though.
But I had Tiger Beat. Yeah. I don't know if you had that in Canada.
I definitely didn't.
You had Tiger Boot.
Anyway, Jonathan Taylor, the reason why I don't think he's actually going to be there in the end for Heisman contender, despite the fact that his numbers are there, they haven't lost, shows you he's there, is, to me, I believe this about every Heisman winner. You have to have some type of a Heisman moment where you're needed. Like I talked about Saquon Barkley's was against Iowa, and he didn't even get the ball at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
But he's done enough to help his team win games, because without him, they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Taylor, like I told you, their weak schedule, I don't think he's going to have that Heisman-type moment. Unless at the end of the year, when they're playing Michigan and it's fourth and goal and they need a touchdown to win, they give it to him and he goes over the top and doesn't choke or fumble, then maybe they'll keep him in the conversation. But to me, a simple schedule and you're running over all these simple teams in the Big Ten, which is very weak, with the exception of probably two or three teams, that's not going to get you the Heisman despite your numbers, and that's why I think he doesn't get in the conversation. People have him there. A lot of people have him ranked in the top five in their Heisman rankings. I don't see it, and that's the reason why I don't put him in there, and that's why I really think it's a two-man race right now. Lamar Jackson being a winner from last year, you can still give him credit. He's not doing enough with his team in terms of helping them win games, so I really think at the end of the day, it's Saquon Baker until then. No, he's great, but it's a one-man show. It's Michael Vick show. Yeah. He can't do it on his own. His defense isn't helping him. All these good teams that are ranked high with the Heisman contenders, they have some help on defense. Lamar's not getting it.
I think if you're listening to this podcast and you heard Lamar Jackson isn't doing enough.
I said he's not doing enough to help his team win only because he has to do it on his own. He can't do it all.
Right.
You need a defense. I'm not saying not doing enough. To me, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the draft to take next year.
Yeah.
To me, he's Teddy Bridgewater. That's the same kind of impact that Teddy Bridgewater had before he's injured. I do. I really firmly believe
Teddy Bridgewater.
That. Same school, by the way. That was.
I don't know why names are really popping out to me, but Teddy Bridgewater, his name should. He should be like an R&B singer. Hey, girl, I'm like Teddy Bridgewater.
Hey, by the way, I can't wait till he comes back because they need him. Sam Bradford's not getting it done. Although Case Keenum looks good. This is NFL. We shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah, but I love Case Keenum at Houston, which dovetails into Memphis being.
What happened with Greg Ward Jr.? What happened with Houston?
The coach leaves. Herman left. Yeah,
but that's huge. But they're supposed to have a good team. They had talent.
They have.
No,
they do.
What happened yesterday? They're not even ranked anymore.
Look, I'll make you a comparison too.
Do it.
Lane Kiffin with the Owls of FAU.
Okay.
They just scored the most points they've ever done in history, and it really made me think. Like, God, he really is a good coach if he puts it together, right?
Oh, definitely he is. That's never been his problem. It's the outside distraction.
So. But this got me thinking this morning at about 5:30, because this is what I do on Sunday mornings.
Love it.
To prep. But I was listening to highlights and cleaning up the place and getting it ready to sell. That's 11-1 open house in Tampa, Florida. Hit me up, 307wilder.com. But if you really think about it, what value does it add? I was reading a great post on VentettiLegal.com.
I like that.
About adding value before you exit the room.
Yes.
Exit your business, get the value as high as you can. There's a bunch of things you can do. Yep.
I like where this is going. I know exactly where you're
going. I feel like the coaching thing, it's a little bit different in the sense that you're getting the value up as much as you can. You're not thinking about it like that, but you're just thinking win games, that's going to add value, be the best coach you can be. But without you there and no succession planning in place, which a lot of coaches don't think about because why would they put a lot of time into that? Because it's not their program, technically.
They don't want to leave.
Right. They're hired guns, essentially. So I feel like when the coach leaves like that, that has such a big impact. It doesn't matter how good the players you have. That helps. That'll make Houston a bowl team.
But, yeah. Maybe. Not this year. Maybe
Greg Ward wasn't that good. Maybe it was extrapolated because
Tom system Herman, player, as people call it. I don't think that's it, but...
Okay. What do you got?
No, just for Greg Ward. I think in general, your point 100% is correct. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you at all.
Right.
I think what you said makes 100% sense.
Because it's a point from your point.
I just want to give Greg Ward his due because I really think he's actually a good athlete and a very good football player.
Oh, no, I do
player.
Too.
Yeah, so I think he's a little bit of the exception. It's interesting you say about FAU, DeAndre Johnson, who they got from Last Chance U. Interesting, though. Lane Kiff, because he's such an offensive genius. If he gets the quarterback he wants, which he pretty much handpicked, and Clint Trickett delivered for him, it's interesting to think that, that's all he really ever needed. And just to kind of calm down, being kind of a smaller atmosphere, I think a lot of the other ones might have been too big. And like I said, those outside distractions got to him. If he's not distracted, when you watch him at Alabama, not being the head coach, which he is now, an actual head coach, but even that, I mean, Saban kept him, on the straight and narrow, and he really was able to call a good offense every single game he was on. He never called a bad game as an offensive coordinator. He didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, having Alabama's talent helps.
Yeah.
But at the same time, now that he's at FAU, it shows, what he's capable of. Recruiting's going to be big for him because he's got to battle the heavy hitters in the state of Florida, Miami, Florida, Florida now, State, to get those players.
He'll be the in-between Last Chance U and the big program.
Well, this is the thing. Now, yeah, he's going to have to fight like it's his last meal for really good recruits. The fact he got DeAndre Johnson, who punched a girl when he was at Florida State, which is why he got kicked out of school, and he was able to kind of get the scraps, they call it, the extra players from Last Chance U, players from JUCO like that. That helps your program. He's even got John Franklin, who left Auburn, by the way.
Yeah.
What's he doing? I don't know why he did that.
I don't know, man.
He was overhyped, man. I thought he was going to be the real deal.
I'm almost like bummed out by him.
I thought he was going to bring some real quality.
It's like a spurned ex-girlfriend. I feel like.
Feel rejection?
Yeah. I'm going to go on Bumble now and just go try to date some other quarterbacks like Stidham.
Then he got switched to receiver. He said, I'm not leaving Auburn. I love it here. And all of a sudden, like 2 weeks after his Instagram post, he goes to FAU.
Of course.
Very interesting. But that's
what
that's
else
college
you,
football.
What else are you going to say? I mean,
no, you can't say anything else.
Chris Taylor posted on while we've been going live. Where's Chad? Where's Chad at?
Chad went to the Florida State Louisville game. Allegedly, he was there yesterday. He sent me a text of him playing some audio.
Yeah, I was gonna play it on air, and then I was like,
maybe next week. Chad's going to the cocktail ball. I'll tell you what, send us some cocktail ball, some good quality content. We'll probably play that.
Hey, if you upgrade, you upgrade your iOS and you have a decent phone, you can get that Clips app. I love using. And
you're obsessed with apps a lot. That's all I
know. No, but I just like things that make shit easier for you. So if I'm trying to dictate notes, I try to do it with video because if I'm sending you something, right? I gotta send you a message. I gotta delegate something to you.
True.
It's so much easier for me to record on Clips, get the it automatically does captions.
Yeah.
So if you can't listen to it, you're in a meeting.
Yeah.
But you wanna, you're in a meeting where you can kind of look at your phone under.
It'll
the table.
Give you like a transcript.
Yeah,
like a transcript.
You can read the captions.
I like it.
So I just like that as a big time saver. It's just our behavior. That's the thing. Your behavior has to change.
True.
All right.
Tupac.
I just got the 10%.
We
got
to make these changes.
I just got the 10% battery low on this iPad mini, so we're gonna have to speed it up. Let's go over to week 9. What do you think?
We're almost done anyway. We talked about a
content. Yeah, we're good.
But anyway, Chris, that's where Chad is, and he's not going to be here next week either, unfortunately, because he'll be at the cocktail party in Jacksonville. So
some would say, you can get back from Jacksonville pretty quickly.
I would think so, too. I think Chad's making excuses. However, I heard this week's rankings might be higher in terms of listeners because Chad's... That's allegedly, though. I have no proof for that at all.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll just compare.
We'll have... we only have, 13, 14 weeks as a sample size to really test against him not being here. But
Chad, if you can get back next week, we'd love to have you back on, man.
Yeah, I mean...
You are one of the staples of this podcast.
we owe you $5.
Well, technically...
You owe him $5 through
I'm
going
to pay him because you owe him. Anyway, okay. This is really, if there was a bet at all, which yeah, there was. We're not
there was a bet. Allegedly.
Anyway, let's look at next week's game. We kind of talked. We talked about the major ones. We told you watch out for upset alert. NC State, Notre Dame.
3:30 is going to be crazy.
NC State, Notre Dame's at 3:30. USF's playing Houston next week. I hope that's not an upset alert. I want USF to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
I see them being in a very quality bowl if they can win out. 3:30, Ohio State, Penn State is the game of the week. Why it's on Fox, I don't know, but it is. So that one's at 3:30 as well. So 3:30 is going to be very busy. The early game, though, I like at noon. I like Oklahoma State, West Virginia to be a shootout.
Yeah.
That's the game I'm looking forward to the most in terms of the early game.
Keep rolling while I plug this in.
I got you, brother. Wisconsin's got Illinois early at noon. I don't think it's going to be a problem for Wisconsin. Like I said, that week schedule is not going to help them get much. Miami's got North Carolina. Always a tough game for Miami of the old. I don't know now with the Mark Richt regime in there. I think they kind of take North Carolina looked terrible yesterday and got beat down badly.
Yep.
I think they have no chance against Miami next week. UCLA Washington, don't sleep on that game. That's a 3:30 game as well. So sleep on that lots game. Of action.
Take a nap.
You got Florida Georgia next week.
Florida Georgia line. Yeah, your favorite country
my
band.
My favorite country band. The one game I am worried about. Not saying they're on upset alert. It's very tough if you watch the people who've played Georgia Tech this year. They've had problems. Miami squeaked a win out against them. Clemson's got them next week. I'm not sure how healthy Clemson's going to be. That's some primetime 8 o'clock game on ABC.
Yeah, Kelly Bryant is still probably hurt.
He's actually probable for that game next week. I think he'll play at least early to make sure they can kind of take a little advantage of Georgia Tech and get ahead early if they can. But that triple option.
Whoop.
That Georgia Tech has is absolutely difficult to stop. Everybody has problems with it. So we'll see if Clemson can obviously stay on top next week, ranked number 7. If they lose again, I think they're out of the top 4 for the year.
I think TCU playing Iowa State's kind of interesting because they're upset special
two weeks ago. They beat Oklahoma.
Yep.
And I do think the very funny thing is Oklahoma playing Texas Tech, Baker playing his old coach, his old team. That's an 8 o'clock game. That's also on ABC. I think they have no problem beating Texas Tech, but always a shootout that offense. Kingsbury can pull one out of his hat.
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. I don't see him winning that one.
Dude, the guy went to Slightly Stupid, man, and he went to a music fest. He got his mind right. I think he's going to get it together.
Who's that?
Cliff.
Oh, I thought you meant Baker.
No.
Nah, they got no chance winning that game. You're telling me Oklahoma's going to lose that game?
They could, man. Look, Texas Tech, it feels like old Texas Tech. They're not quite there yet.
No. I think he keeps his job because of what he's doing right now.
It feels like the Crabtree years almost. Yeah. We're getting pretty close.
Well, because, he's one of our coaches on the hot seat we named besides Butch Jones, besides Kevin Sumlin, who I think does keep his job. The only other coach, Brian Kelly, is not on the hot seat. I think Arkansas's coach is on the hot seat. I would watch out for him.
Bielema?
Yeah, Brett Bielema.
God, he looks like he smelled a plate of shit. If you did he do close up on his face, it's just like, oh, what the fuck's wrong? His face is constantly a grimace. Like
it is.
It looks like he's taking
shit
too. But
that's an SEC football coach, but you're never happy. You never sad. Look at Nick Saban.
He's always had that, though.
But Arizona. Washington State, I just want to say that's a good potential upset game from Washington State as well. But that's your late Pac-12 game if you're still up to watch football games or not out at the club. That's a good game to watch late. I like Arizona.
I got to tell these two quick stories, mm-hmm. and then we got to go.
Yes.
So buddy of mine, Jeff Zimba, mm-hmm. shout out, buddy, hit me up. He's a buddy of mine from Omaha. He was about to go to
Omaha.
He goes to a different college football game. Nice. Because his team sucks, Nebraska. Mm. So him and his friends, they try to get the experience. He said, hey, we're thinking about switching it up to Auburn, Georgia. I think that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
I think it's in Auburn, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that game is awesome because it'll be cheaper than if you went to the Iron Bowl.
It would be.
Because tickets are outrageous.
Even your hotel, everything would be cheaper. Yeah. Everything would be.
Well,
the town sold out.
This will still be a game. It's the South's oldest rivalry.
Right.
It's like 110 years or something crazy like that. And so.
I love that.
The good thing about it is Georgia fans I've had, they're very nice. Like, I haven't had, there's some asshole fans and all that stuff, but they're very good. Now, he was asking me for recommendations on where to go. I was like, I don't think I've actually been to all. I went to MBA distance program at Auburn in like
very
2010.
Distance.
Well, it's virtual.
Right.
2010, 2011.
Most education will be like that in like 30 years.
I think
there'll be no campus life.
2010 might be the last time I went there. I was trying to think about it because every time I try to book a time to go, I either got booked doing stand-up for a weekend or had work or something came up. Or, you know, we've had two kids, so it's like...
You have done that. Trying to sell a house, which you have open house this Sunday.
And 2 years ago, we were trying to buy a house. Yeah, open house today, 307 Wilder in Seminole Heights. Mm-hmm. Lovely neighborhood.
Lovely.
Great neighborhood, great craftsman house.
Excellent.
So my thing was... I don't really know exactly where to go, but I do know there used to be a place called Sky Bar, and that was where you went because they had a list, and I'm sure it's called something else now.
Definitely.
The list probably stays. All you need to do is go to the main area. They used to have a supper club that you could stay up in late. You could go there until 3 or 4 because it was grandfathered in back in the day that it's a private it's a private dinner club, but I think someone told me that's gone too. So I don't know, man. I don't know where to go, but I'm sure if you ask a, what I do is I ask a bunch of people throughout the day, where's the best place to go? But kind of size up the people you're asking. If it's a dude that, you know, some kind of like a kid with his shirt tucked in, like that looks like he loves farming, like he's not going to know where to go exactly.
Library.
Yeah. He's going to tell you, I don't know, man, I'll go to I'll go to Alpha Chi.
DZ House.
Yeah, something like that.
No, that's good if you said that.
You can go to the Sig Up House in Auburn and try to knock on the door if a fucking billy goat doesn't knock you down or something. something white trash shit.
Law speaks from experience on that.
Yeah. Alabama Alpha, what up, dog? So I don't know where to go, but we want to hear from all the fans, where's the best place to go? I can tell you where not to go. One city altogether is Baton Rouge. Just don't go
what's
there.
What's that story about?
So,
why not?
I got to do this quickly. We got about 3 minutes. So, 05 went to the Auburn at LSU game in Baton Rouge.
Now, was this the Nick Saban LSU years?
No.
Before that?
This started Les Miles kind of Mad Hatter.
Oh, he was still there. Okay, I thought Nick Saban just before he went to Miami.
I want to say it was 05 was Les Miles. You can look that up.
I am.
Fact check it. But shout out to our LSU correspondent. Hunter Hamilton.
That was
Hamilton.
His first season. Was 05. He just 05? Started. That was his first inaugural season for Les Miles, head coach LSU, 2005.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't remember. So everything was awesome. LSU was a great place until it was a night game on a Saturday. Everything was great until about 5 o'clock before the 7 o'clock game. And then things started to turn. Like everybody's super nice. Friday, accommodating. I was like, hey, this place isn't bad. I don't know why people talk a lot of shit about it. I had cracklin. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like...
Sounds...
It's pig fat.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like something like
it's
that.
Awesome. It's awesome. No. It's so good.
What, you drink it straight?
No. You don't
or
drink
you
it.
Eat it?
It's like a super fine bacon almost.
Oh, like, so they don't like drain it into like that kind of fat?
No, not that. Not this is just like... It's something I had at a tailgate, and I was like, this is amazing. Ugh. And people are like giving you beers and like being real hospitable. It gets to about 5 o'clock. I got a good buzz on. I'm walking with my best friend.
Wait, were you wearing Auburn stuff and you're approaching LSU fans?
I used to wear I'd wear an Auburn tie, like a navy and a orange tie.
Wait, you wear a tie to games with a collared shirt?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
It's freaking hot then you're going to Baton Rouge.
I didn't wear it all day. I have it set
interesting.
Up.
Interesting. You're one of those guys. Okay,
yeah, I liked it. I like. Cool. I don't know why. It would just be fun. It's fun to get trashed wearing all that stuff.
plus did you wear a blazer with it too? The jacket?
If it got cold enough, yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Suited up for the game. Sorry.
It's old school Southern. I don't know. I thought it was... I wouldn't do it all year. I just love it.
Sorry.
And so, it's fucking classy.
It is.
I look fucking classy.
You dress better for that than in real life.
Yeah. I just wear gym clothes most of the time. This is a collared shirt. This is
because you own your own business, baby.
So, exactly. So, we're in Baton Rouge. Everything's great. Cracklin's going. And one of my best friends and I, Travis Leiser, is... He's 6'5", and he's the kind of guy that everybody, when you were hanging out with him, just short guys want to fight him kind of thing. Like, they do. I've seen it.
Interesting.
I don't know why. When we went to Chicago, I saw it happen there. We've been around the country. Anyway, 05, it's about 5:30. We're walking through. We're going to walk up to the stadium real slowly just because, you know, take our time, see if we can meet up with some other tailgates.
Lurking.
I'm walking... toward I'm walking with him. I'm looking down at my boots. I remember this distinctly. Looking down at my boots, and I'm like, man, there's some shit on there I gotta clean up. And
bacon fat.
And what happens is I the next blink I wake up and I'm like just got wrecked into a truck. Like some redneck fucking leaped off of a truck, shoulder checked me, sucker punch shoulder checked me. like a flying redneck, just whoosh, like a hockey check. I dented this, my back dented into the like door panel of this like other truck. And I got up and I was like, what the fuck? What just happened? Like, didn't know what the fuck happened at all.
Did anybody see it?
Definitely got a concussion. Didn't think I did.
And this is all pregame.
This is pregame. This is 5:30. This game's at 7.
Baton Rouge.
So I'm like, what the fuck? And all I can see is I get up and I see there's two moms that saw exactly what happened sitting in folding chairs. And they mouth like, don't do anything. Don't fight
just
back.
Let it go.
Just get out of here. They're like trying to mouth it, like, but not
take
say
your
it.
Tie off.
My buddy Travis is yelling at everybody like, what the fuck? That's fucking crazy. Why the fuck would you do that? So I go, Trav, we got to get out of here. We got to go. Let's get the fuck out of here. And then as we walk out, almost like Dawn of the Dead, there's like 100 fans just start closing in.
On you?
Like, yeah, because they think we started shit.
Dude, this is creepy.
Because if you're from far away and you see that, all you see is Travis yelling at everybody, and now it looks like we're two Auburn fans trying to start shit almost. And like I'm like, come on, dude, we gotta get
you're outnumbered.
Let's go, let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go, we gotta go. So, you know, and love Travis for doing that for me, but at the same time, it was one of those things where it was like, dude, we gotta go get through. Go, let's get the fuck out of here. So we get to the stadium, we get out of that mess, and we get into the stadium. Like old grandpas are talking shit to us, like. My buddy Lincoln's walking up the stairs. I'm right behind him, and this old guy's like calling him like fag and stuff. And it's like, okay. And my buddy Lincoln gets his binoculars, like, cool fucking binoculars, piece of shit, and like throws back at him, bringing binoculars to the game. It was hilarious.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was intense. So we lost that game, 5 missed field goals, right? We lost. No big deal.
I heard about that.
So we go out, 5 out of 6 missed field goals. John Vaughn, I'm sorry, man. So we get out of the game. We go to a tailgate. Somehow I get lost from all the guys. This is 05. Got a Razor cell phone. It doesn't have a good battery.
Oh, I love those phones.
And it didn't have good reception.
The Motorola Razor, baby.
All right, I gotta button this up.
Yeah.
So I get a cab at some point. Cab driver sees my Auburn tie. I think coming out of my pocket. I say, can you take me to Magnolia something? Magnolia Arms. And our place is called Magnolia something else that I was staying. And he knew where to take me. I was like, no, it's near campus. It's like only 3 blocks off. And I think this cab driver fucked with me, dropped me off at this Magnolia something else. And when I was like, I got out and I was like, hey, I don't think this is it. It was like the just taxi
took
just
off. Did you pay him? Or did he leave before
I paid
you paid him?
Because
okay.
I was drunk and I got out and yeah. I was like, oh shit, I just got left. And now I'm in this deserted place off of I-10. I spent the rest of the night walking down I-10. Like, should I break into this church and just sleep there for the night? Because it's freezing now. Like, that, having those kind of thoughts.
Don't break into a church.
Dude, I didn't.
Not in the South.
You don't know what to do. So, well, I was like, someone will find me at least. At least I can sleep on the ground. And, like, you're getting into survival mode.
Wait, where were your boys at?
I couldn't get a hold of them. No phone.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Motorola.
So luckily, I remember a lot of my friends' phone numbers. Like, I wrote them down. Like, no one has that foresight. But no. I was like, if I got that situation, I don't want to be tethered to my phone that's dead.
Yeah, once you got thrown into a car, you're like, I probably should take some remedial measures.
I think I called one of my buddies that was in Gainesville. I was like, do you have Travis's number? Like, or something like that. I at least knew someone's phone number by heart so I could call them to get other phone numbers. Found a gas station. The lady felt so bad for me. She was just like, come in. And like, it was like a bulletproof glass kind of situation where I was like,
that's trusting.
She thought I was fucking, it was the middle of I-10 in Baton Rouge. I know. And then I made it back to the apartment we were staying and slept under the kitchen table. I think I made it about 5. And then one of my friends, I think, kicked me to wake me up because he thought I was just... Like, he thought I got there in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I was like, please don't. And like, just fucking worst weekend I've ever
had. How'd you get back to Auburn? Did you drive?
We drove back.
You drove back?
I got back with my guys. But like, my buddy, I think my buddy Chase was like kicking me to fuck with me. Like, hey man, we're up. Let's go. And I was like, and I smelled like shit. Like,
will you ever go back to Baton Rouge for a football game?
I went back.
That's the question.
I went back and did a gig and had the worst gig I've ever had in my life. So,
it's just not meant to be.
Yeah. So fuck Baton Rouge. That's that's all we got today. 3xopod.com. Hit us up. Tell us the best bars in your college town. When you go back, maybe you go there now.
And give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. We'd appreciate that. Any rating will do.
And I got to go. We got an open house.
Later.
So, yeah.